hillbilly rock star.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. For the first time, we're hearing from the mother of the suspected Georgia high school shooter.
Marcy Gray says she has not seen or spoken to her 14-year-old son Colt since his arrest for allegedly shooting two teachers and two fellow students to death at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia last week. But if she does get to see him...
And I would tell him that it's not your fault. It's not his fault.
Gray blames Colt's father after prosecutors say he knowingly allowed his son to possess a weapon. Colin Gray is charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, while his son is charged with 4 counts of felony murder. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The debate stage is set for the first presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. It airs tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, taking place in Philadelphia. Delta says two passenger planes collided today at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International. The tail of the regional plane was clipped. There were no injuries on board either plane. This is ABC News. Gas prices continuing their post-Labor Day decline.
Gas prices have been dropping pretty dramatically for weeks. Analysts say it's a result of lower global oil prices, less demand drive with summer over, and less demand from China due to its weakening economy. The Energy Department reports the average price of regular unleaded came down another 5 cents in the past week to $3.24 a gallon on average, now 59 cents a gallon less than at this time last year, except in California, where prices have gone up 4 cents in the past week because of some refinery problems. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Smoke is covering the skies in parts of Brazil, Bolivia, and Ecuador due to wildfires in the Amazon. The conditions leading to evacuations, school closures, and canceled flights. Experts say the fire, which is a threat to plant and animal life, is the worst in 2 decades. The wildfire season in the Amazon region used to last 3 months. It's now doubled. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice sounding so legendary? Honey, and how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Good morning, doctor.
Doctor.
Hi, doctor.
Doctor.
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Racine County's district attorney said Friday police officers involved in a fatal shooting at a park there won't be criminally charged. On July 10th, officers responded to the report of a man lying face down at Cliffside Park in Caledonia. The man, 37-year-old Jesse Pat, fired a gun in the air as officers approached him. That led to a 2-hour standoff that ended when Pat was shot by officers after reaching for his gun. Pat died at the scene. Police connected Pat to allegedly setting a house on fire in Racine 2 days earlier. His mother, 67-year-old Cheryl Christensen, was found dead inside the burned home with gunshot wounds. Police in Sheboygan shoot a man who assaults and tries to disarm an officer. When police responded to the report of a man waving a gun in downtown Sheboygan Sunday evening, they said the 23-year-old lunged at an officer. He then assaulted them and took the officer's gun out of their duty belt. Another officer shot the man, who was arrested, taken to a local hospital, and later flown to a Green Bay area hospital for surgery. The assaulted officer suffered minor injuries. No one else was hurt. Airports across Wisconsin will get more than $34 million for safety and operation improvements.
The funds come from a Federal Aviation Administration program that provides grants for the planning and development of public-use airports and improvements related to enhancing airport safety, capacity, security, and environmental concerns. Projects receiving funding include nearly $3 million to expand the terminal building at the Appleton International Airport and almost $6 million to rehab paved taxiways at Dane County Regional Airport. Funding for the upgrades come from the Tammy Baldwin-backed government funding bill. Baldwin faces Republican challenger Eric Hovde in a race for Senate this November. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Believer City Church in Menominee holds community Bible discussions in towns throughout our region. Join us in Durand at the Cell Block Bar and Grill for a weekly Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. No matter what church you attend, you're welcome to participate in this local Bible study. Our goal is to increase your knowledge, your discipleship, and your Christian fellowship. So drop in, enjoy some food and fellowship, and let's dig into God's Word together.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy and a little breezy today. We'll get to 82 for a high. The wind south 10 to 20, gusting to 25. Tonight we'll drop down to 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 86. Then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 88. If you are looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's easy to get there, and it is definitely worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand, Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Giving it all back this morning. Let's see. And the equities are mostly lower as well. We'll come back to that. We'll look into some policy stuff in this morning's show. We need to talk about the upcoming debate, and we'll focus on some climate stuff as well. Live from 2-2-Tuesday via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with John Doggett. Then we need to get some debate perspective from Jim Wiesmeyer. And later, Jenny Poling from ADM. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome guest host Davis Michelson in for the vacationing Chip Flory. Woo! After the August that our friend Mr. Flory had, yeah, let's get him out there on the lake for a week or so. You know, let's get him recharged, refueled. That's where he's at. I'll be covering the morning shows all of this week. And then we've got a series of guest hosts for the afternoon programs. We'll be sure to get you all the information that you need, including the markets and policy, all the cool stuff, all the things the kids are talking about these days. We'll cover them right here on AgriTalk. And this morning's show, I mean, we've got an awful lot packed in here. An op-ed from John Doggett has caught our attention, former CEO of NCGA, and just a great guy to talk to about general stuff, too, right here on AgriTalk. We have him all the time. Love John Doggett, so we'll talk to him in the next segment. And then Jim Wiesmeyer. I got a lot of questions for Wiesmeyer. There's no way we're gonna get through all of the questions that I have. You know, and among them that I don't know if we'll get to or not, and maybe I'll just start here, but tell me if you feel this way too, ahead of the election, regardless of which candidate you favor, or if you favor one of the candidates, it sort of feels like the nation is kind of holding its breath, and maybe even the world too. We're seeing some export activity that might be preemptive ahead of the election. They want to get their books filled. They want to get things taken care of. Because nobody quite knows what's going to happen. I want to talk to Jim about it. Again, if we'll have time, just it feels like no matter which way the election goes, somebody's going to be upset. And our nation's expression, our nation's ability to express its frustrations in a healthy way, let's go that route, to express frustrations in a healthy way has been diminished over the past several years, and I don't know. I don't know what happens. We'll talk to Wiesmeyer about it. Maybe I'm positioning myself on an unnecessary ledge here. We'll get some perspective from Jim. Jenny Poling from ADM has got a new program out that you should definitely hear about because there's a deadline fast approaching. And then Karen Bonert will come up if I ever get to the news here. Hey, let's do it now. The National Weather Service calling for Tropical Storm Francine to strengthen into a hurricane before reaching the northwestern Gulf Coast Wednesday. That's tomorrow. Life-threatening storm surge, strong winds, and heavy rainfall are expected along the upper Texas and Louisiana coastlines. Heavy showers and gusty winds are likely across Guam through Wednesday night as a result of Tropical Depression 14W. That according to the National Weather Service. This from other weather services, Tropical Storm Francine set to become a hurricane churning toward Louisiana, forcing some oil drillers to halt production and evacuate crews on the Gulf of Mexico. The gale is expected to bring 4 to 8 inches of rainfall, with localized areas receiving up to 12 inches. This would be the third named storm to hit the United States mainland in 2024, following a brief lull in what has actually been a rather active hurricane season. I've got crop progress report highlights, crop progress and condition update as of September 8th. This according to USDA. Corn, man, 64% good to excellent. Again, we back off a point from last week when we were 65% good to excellent. 95% is in dough stage, 74% dented, 29% mature, and 5% harvested. All those other numbers come in line with the averages. Soybeans, 65% good to excellent, unchanged on the week. 97% setting pods, 25% dropping leaves. Cotton was 40% good to excellent. That's down 4 percentage points from last week. 45% bolls opening, 40% on average there, 8% harvested. Spring wheat is 85% harvested. That compares to 83% on average. And winter wheat, 6% planted, right in line with the 6% average. Crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonnier left his U.S. corn and soybean yield forecasts at 182.5 and 53 bushels per acre, respectively, though he has a neutral to lower bias as late-season dryness is less than ideal for crops. The United Nations Food and Ag Organization says its food price index stood at 120.7 points in August. That's down marginally from July. Decreases in the price indices for sugar, meat, and cereals outweighed increases for those in veg oils and dairy products. The food price index was 1.1% lower than August 2023 and 25% below the level reached in March of 2022. Drawing attention to the worsening economic conditions impacting the nation's food growers, over 300 national and state groups, including the National Corn Growers Association, sent a letter to congressional leaders about the need for a new farm bill. Signatories stressed the significant need for a new bill before the end of 2024. Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, arrived in Ho Chi Minh City to launch a USDA-sponsored agribusiness trade mission. Taylor's delegation includes officials from 60 U.S. agribusinesses and farm organizations, 9 state departments of ag seeking to develop and expand business opportunities with importers in Vietnam and other Southeast Asian countries. And with that, let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Karen, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm looking at my calendar here. We're not quite into go time yet, but it feels like before we get all crazy with harvest and everything, we might need to do a little bit of year-end financial planning. What do you think?
Well, I know that doesn't spell fun, right? But even when there are in a tractor, and I know in, at least in our part of the country, there is a lot of tractors going and choppers going. And I would argue that windshield time, Davis, provides a great opportunity to at least start thinking for the year ahead. And I recently visited with Gary Sikorski. He's an independent financial advisor, well-known in the dairy sector. And he says, you know, Karen, I recommend producers to set aside time, 2 hours a week, just to strictly to focus, Davis, on financial planning. And it's best to do it when you're fresh in the morning and really before you start, you know, delegating the list out and start going out, you know, doing stuff yourself. And it might seem like a lot, but these hours are probably maybe some of your most profitable hours, just to understand where the money is coming from and where the expenses are going. And so, and he also says, you know, make time for conversations. And what I would say is, even when they are in the tractor, call your lender, your accountant, talk to other dairy producers, what they're doing. And so we don't expect them to park the tractor, but we do expect them to start these conversations and at least get these meetings on the calendar for early November so that you can, you know, talk about what you're doing with your finances. But before you can do any of that, you really have to know your cost of production. And again, this takes time to sit down and look at spreadsheets and things that are not so fun.
Yeah. And those unfun things are sometimes the things that we choose not to look at. I would argue you do yourself a disservice when you look away from the hard, unfun things. Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk, we appreciate the insights there. That's good counsel.
Thank you.
DairyHerd.com, that's Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. All right, coming up, we've got John Doggett, former CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, right here on AgriTalk.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Agday's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk. And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. So glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. You will not be disappointed, beloved listener. We've got John Doggett, former NCGEA CEO. Mr. Doggett, welcome to AgriTalk again. It's great to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Davis. It's great to be on with you today. And I hear Chip is fashioning lies about what kind of fish he's catching.
He certainly is. You know, maybe it'll turn out that he doesn't have to lie about the enormoid fish that he catches. I don't know. I mean, I suppose we'd never be the wiser, would we?
No, we wouldn't, and that's why he's going to go ahead and probably inflate the size of those fish.
He may not be fishing at all, John. We don't know. I can't confirm where he is.
No, that's just it, Davis. We don't know where he is. We don't know what he's doing. He's slipped the bonds of his minders, and who knows what's going on.
That's right. Well, we'll hope he comes back one day eventually. But John, I know that you've got some insights, some fresh thoughts into climate smart ag. I just want to sort of open that generic topic to you, and let you pursue the little trail that you want to in this conversation. We'll go from there. What's in your head right now on the climate smart ag, John?
Well, Davis, you know, we, for so many years and working at Cattlemen and the and Farm Bureau and with the corn growers, we always talked about we need more of these voluntary-based, incentive-based conservation programs. And the Inflation Reduction Act certainly put a lot of money into that very large pot. And that money is starting to roll out. And what it's going to allow producers to do is try some things that mitigate climate change, try to find things that make us more less carbon intensive. You know, these are programs that allow for the innovative abilities that farmers have in abundance to have some opportunity to go ahead and let's try something new. We've got some money here to go ahead and deal with potential short-term yield loss or try something new, a new technology, incentivize new technologies. You know, there's a lot of great things that we can do if we have those voluntary programs that are incentive-based. And certainly there's a lot of opportunities for producers and others to access those funds and do some great things.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and say this correctly. Conservation is just a conversation without compensation. When you're talking about, oh gosh, you know, this practice, we're going to try something new there. If I'm a farmer and I'm trying to earn a living out here, it's a little scary for me. Is there what sort of safety net or what kind of thinking that if it goes south, what happens?
Well, yeah, that's just it. And so if you have a program in place that you sign up for that says, yeah, okay, try this and we'll go ahead and cover some of the potential loss if it exists. And, you know, the first year or two, you like try that. Anything new on the farm,
yep,
doesn't work as well as it does out there 5-10 years later.
Yeah. Well, you know, the farmer is the eternal optimist. So you got that going for you. They do tend to take the long view. So it seems like there's something of a, I don't know if you'd call it a safety net necessarily, but there's a little bit of backstop there, a little support for farmers who want to try some of these new practices. What sorts of things are you talking about? Because we can leave it in the ethereal and, oh, new practices and conservation. What are we talking about?
We're talking about how can we accelerate the use of those products that allow for less nitrogen use. How about precision agriculture? Do you need to go ahead and change some of your equipment around so that you have, you know, you can do more of that precision type farming? What about drone technologies? How can we go ahead and incentivize additional things from drones? You know, they are more and more being used in agriculture. How can we accelerate that? How do we find a program for a new farmer that wants to come in and try, go from min-till to no-till? How do you do those things? And these are programs that the farmer has some control over and at the same time has a backstop.
I'm curious, is there a financial question here for farmers? I'm thinking of the tight margin environment that they keep preaching to us that we're in and will continue to be in for a while. I mean, is it easier to make converts with $6 corn than it is with $4 corn?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And but these are, you know, these are different kinds of programs than Title I programs in the Farm Bill. Title I programs in the Farm Bill is about risk mitigation on prices and on yields. And what we're talking about with Climate Smart Ag programs is we're not looking at the short term, we're looking at the long term. And Title I is short term, these programs are longer term. And you know what? Not everything that people are going to try is going to work.
All right.
You're more likely to try something if yeah, you know you got a little bit of coverage on that.
Yes. Yes. Are these practices and something of this ilk, is this something that necessarily maybe down the road would need to be codified in the Farm Bill itself?
That's what we're trying not to do. We're trying to make this a program that is, we don't want Congress to come in and mess it up too much.
Yeah.
And right, we start codifying things, you know.
They're back in session now, you know. Anything could happen.
Anything could happen, you know. And that's why I'm glad to be here in Tallahassee, Florida today.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. let's jump the tracks just a little bit, but we're not getting too far. I'm reading, looking at an article that you put on AgriPulse, an opinion piece. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about this just a little bit. Growing up, I'm quoting you now, growing up, I heard from my granddad, dad, my uncle, my brother, the same thing I heard many times from the members I had the honor to represent in Washington, and that is this. On farms and ranches, we deal with the uncertainty of the weather and the markets. We do not need more uncertainty, especially from Washington. You took what I would call a critical look at a potential second Trump administration. Give us your broad view, your 30,000-foot view on where we're at right now. I mentioned in my intro, you know, it sort of feels like we're all just kind of holding our breath right now, waiting to see what comes next. Where are you at on the election thing, the debates tonight?
Well, I think we need some answers. And former President Trump has been making a lot of statements. He's a politician, and politicians do that. But some things that we're hearing really concern me, and particularly around the tariff and on the labor issues. And, you know, I remember back in the Bush administration when the folks, there were raids on a couple meatpacking plants around the country. Man, it my phone rang off the hook in the corn grower office. Huh. And people were very upset. You know, I had a board member who showed up at one of those plants with a truckload of hogs. He had to turn around and take them home.
Oh, geez.
What happens if we go ahead and start doing mass deportations? You know, certainly we're not going to round up 12 million people and ship them back home, but there's certainly going to be something happen. I want to know how are we going to go ahead and milk cows? How are we going to process cattle? How are we going to produce hogs? Those are questions that I think we need to have some answers for, because that has been a pretty consistent message from former President Trump, is that there will be deportations. So given that 70% of labor done to produce food comes from folks that aren't from here, we need some answers on those things. And there needs to be some specifics so that we can prepare and to do the things we need to do to get the job done.
I'm looking further down in your article here on AgriPulse. You write the Trump campaign has a lot of the what, but not a bit of the how. I would argue that that's on both of the. I've been very critical of the Biden administration and now the Harris administration of having these aspirational ideas that get the cart before the horse. It seems like we're getting kind of that same a lot of the what, but not much of the how. And maybe that's just the nature of the American consumer. Don't give me the details. Just make me feel good. Dude, it feels like we're in a dangerous spot here from both camps.
Well, I mean, it, no matter whether it's a presidential candidate or a U.S. Senate or U.S. House race or somebody running for the city council, you know, when they toss things out there, that's my position. But when farmers and ranchers have to deal with the consequences of those things and slap their foreheads and say, what just happened? Let's get some answers before that happens.
Boy, that'd be nice. John Doggett, man, what a great conversation. Thank you for spending some time with us. You've set us up really well for the rest of the show. I appreciate you, sir. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
That was John Doggett, a friend, longtime friend of AgriTalk. We've got Jim Wiesmeyer coming up next to continue our conversation. He's going to talk about the debates and some more specifics on AgriTalk.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a...
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 26 to 23.80, November up 40 to 23.35, December up 19 to 22.20, January milk now down 3 at 20.80. In the livestock markets, live cattle markets are relatively flat to mixed. Feeder cattle are slightly higher. Now, there's been an attempt to move the rally higher for the cattle markets, but we are seeing some lower cash markets, and that's helping to continue to provide some pressure in the market. Hog markets, meanwhile, they are moving mostly mixed as well. Again, trying to move that technical rally higher, but we are seeing some lower midday pork cutout values, and that continue to pressure prices. October live cattle down 7 cents to 176.85. September feeder cattle up 95 cents to 238.67. October hogs down 40 cents to 78.40. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving mostly lower, soybeans lower, wheat are mixed. A lot of positioning ahead of the WASDE report on Thursday. Higher MATIF wheat prices helping the wheat markets. However, corn markets lower as that positive weather could help the harvest move along. That's pressuring markets, and that positive weather could also help soybeans reach maturity. And with pod fill, that's pressuring markets. New crop 25 corn down 1.25 to 443.75. New crop 25 beans down 16.75.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk. You know, I do come from the land of ice and snow. Well, it's ice and snow about, I don't know, a third of the year. Central Iowa. And then the other half of the year, it's like 100 degrees. It's awesome. Your pal Davis Michelson here with you on AgriTalk this morning. Chip will be back next week. In the meantime, debate. It's tonight, the presidential debate between candidate Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump, a clash of the political titans to give a little perspective on the debate and the campaigns themselves. Let me bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy OG. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. Here we go again. This could be the only debate we're going to see. Harris wanted to be on the right side of the screen. That's interesting. And Trump won the coin toss to who gives the last statement.
So it's already begun. They're debating over who gets to stand on which side, Jim.
Oh yeah, that happens. That's called debate.
Is there
debate.
Something to that? Is that a thing?
I don't know, because I think it's the same thing on the when Trump debated Biden. I think he was on the left-hand side. So. Who knows? But,
yeah. You
know, the key issues are going to be taxes. I just paid my quarterly taxes, so I'm very interested in what they say on taxes.
No,
on trade, both parties have turned protectionist, so we'll see. But watch Harris spin it's the fact that Trump is Mr. Tariff Man. And on immigration, we're going to see Trump come after her on immigration policy, why it took them so long to hopefully clear things up.
I'm actually looking forward to this, as I hope are a number of Americans, because we've been a little short on policy. I was just, maybe not so much on the Trump side. I wouldn't mind some specifics of the mechanism of some of the things he's proposing, but I was just talking to John Doggett, and I agree with him. He wrote in an op-ed, we've got a whole lot of the what and not a whole lot of the how from either of these candidates. Do you think they will do us the favor of drilling down deep into some of their policy stuff, or are we just going to hear the, she's inexperienced, she doesn't know what she's doing, he's a convicted felon, I'm a former prosecutor, yada, yeah. Yada, yada, same crap again.
Yeah, don't hold your breath. The Farm Foundation held a session yesterday in Washington, D.C., in which they had not official representatives of both campaigns there. And if you were looking for details on how this election would impact agriculture, you were not happy with the results of that confab.
Indeed, indeed. Mr. Trump touts himself as being pro-agriculture, but one of the things that he does bring with him is he at least did some of the things that he said he was going to do when he was campaigning for his previous presidency. He at least did some of the things he said he was going to do, but some of those things turned out to create what farmers might view as genuine hardship that he then had to come back on the backside and make up for financially. I don't know. There it seems like there's worthwhile concern for a second Trump presidency that way as well.
Well, on trade policy is there both, but especially on Trump, if he follows through on his across the board tariffs, reciprocity tariffs, etc., that's just not good for the U.S. ag sector that needs trade. Now on regulations, there's where he shines. I think that was one of his best positives when he was president, and now he's already saying that if he becomes president again, for every new regulation, they have to get rid of 10 existing regulations, where in the past it was two or three. So that's music to my ears, because they're unfunded mandates. But right. From Harris, she's got to show what she's about to about 25% or so of the population who really don't know much about her, believe it or not. So I think she has the most to gain or to lose as a result of this debate. As far as the media, don't get me going. The major media is so biased against Trump, and I'm going to have my puke bucket after me after watching CNN and MSNBC and the other analysis after the debate. They probably have their stories already written in favor of Harris.
Yeah. Interesting. One of the things that I've heard, and I've heard this on NPR, is they've been very critical, almost conspiratorial. You know, I think of all the times that you've been called a conspiracy theorist for thinking of this or that actually came true. They're talking about Project 2025 out of the Trump camp. Are you familiar with this Project 2025, Jim? Can you speak to that?
I'm very familiar.
Enlighten us, please.
Yes, it's a lot of former Trump officials and supporters were authors of a number of those provisions in that book. But I'm just going on what former President Trump is saying. He had no part of that, and he doesn't condone it. So how many times can you say that? But they're running roughshod, and that was evident at the Farm Foundation meeting, too, where they mentioned it a couple times. Vilsack keeps mentioning it. But, truth and reality here. Trump says, no, I don't subscribe to those solutions. That was a very conservative group who put out recommendations for him.
Okay. Can you ballpark those what's in it?
Oh,
why would he distance himself from it?
A few of them are pretty draconian.
Are they?
Well, it's American Enterprise Institute, so they're like to the right of Attila the Hun.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, they're pretty conservative, not on everything. They're a good think tank on certain areas, but it's pretty out there as far as conservative, aggressive conservative principles. So, but Trump has run away from it. So, yeah. Okay, I'll take him for his word.
Well, yeah, and if we take him for his word, that should encourage moderates toward the R. Yeah.
I think that the moderates of both political parties are going to, well, they don't think that Harris has turned moderate. You heard Bernie Sanders on network news on the weekend shows saying, they asked him, does he still think Harris is a progressive, meaning a far liberal, you know, left liberal? And he goes, oh, she's doing what she has to do to get elected. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know right there.
Mm-hmm. I think you wrote about that CNN interview that she and Mr. Walz both took part in, that she was saying the things that she needed to say with a wink toward the progressive side, saying, you know what, I'm saying what I have to do right now.
Here's what I think. If I was on that panel, here's the question that I would ask on fracking. Not that you're either for it or against it. Please explain what fracking is.
Ooh.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I think Trump would answer that, but I don't think Harris could.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting. Wow, you made me pause there for a second. Well, let me ask you this then. As a general campaign strategy, does the vice president want to distance herself from the Biden administration and say, I'm a new thing? Or does she want to present herself as a continuation of the Biden way, which, you know, some would argue is actually the Obama way, is which serves her better?
New way forward. That's their they just put that out yesterday on their campaign website the day before the debate. So that's after the Republicans, you know, criticism for lack of clarity on her positions. She wants to differentiate herself from very unpopular you know, principles of the Biden administration. And okay. Of course, that's what Trump will attack. Like, what have you been doing for a little over 3.5 years on immigration? Why'd you wait so long? What have you done on inflation? You were the one who signed the 50-50 bill in the Senate on the Inflation Reduction Act, etc. Mm-hmm. So there's your sparring that will go back and forth.
Some of the policy details the Harris camp has released at least rhyme with some Trump policies of the past. I'm curious, is this a strategy to maybe try and flush him harder to the right? Or maybe they're trying to make their policies seem similar? What's going on with that little interesting nugget?
Well, it's the old boy charge, come a chameleon, her song. You know, it's just, she is trying to go to the center big time. I say in my speeches, if she keeps up this in her positions, she'll be able to run as a Republican candidate the next election.
Right, right.
You know, she's just turned practical, as Bernie Sanders says. She's doing what she thinks she has to do to win. I think the American public is going to see through that, at least enough of them. But we'll see tonight.
Yeah, yeah. January 6th was not the first time that there was talk of stolen elections. There have been talk of stolen elections in lots and lots of different contests. Somebody's going to say it this time, Jim. Is the nation ready to deal with that? It doesn't matter who wins. The other side is going to say the election was stolen.
Yeah, well, even on the last January the 6th, I will go on, was it proven? No. No. Where's Rudy? I always say to the Republican friends I have. Where's Rudy? You know, they didn't prove it, period. Right. Next question.
Very good. Very good. Quickly here, House Speaker Mike Johnson, he's planning to fund the government through March 28, facing some significant headwinds here. We need a spending bill, bro.
It ain't gonna happen. That's the easiest thing to predict, that it won't go into next year. He's already bow-wowing in remarks to Punch Bowl News this morning, saying, yep, he doesn't want to shut down of the government, so they're rethinking their strategy, which was bad to begin with. We're going to have a relatively clean continuing resolution probably into December of this year, and save yourself a lot of time. Don't read anything else about this stopgap spending bill.
Jim, I might think that you would suggest we marinate some ice cubes as we watch the debate. Thank you for your perspective this morning. I appreciate you, brother.
Anytime.
That's Pro Farmer Policy Expert Jim Wiesmeyer. I've got Jenny Poling from ADM next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors. Restore quality braking and improve stopping performance with parts and advice from the professional parts people. Save money now when you visit O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
I was so excited when I heard the sandwich was back. What's up? This is Mike.
And this is Celia.
And a little thing we love about the Chick-fil-A Honey Pepper Pimento Chicken Sandwich
is the symphony of flavors. You can always count on that crispy, tender, juicy chicken. It's so good.
My favorite part is the pimento cheese. Topped off with the honey, it all comes together perfectly. I like the original.
I like the spicy chicken fillet. But either way,
you're getting a winner.
The Chick-fil-A Honey Pepper Pimento Chicken Sandwich is back with a bite. Try it with the original or spicy fillet, now for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores Ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, Insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with you. So glad that you've joined us this morning. Man, we've had a couple of really insightful conversations. I guess I want to watch the debate more than ever now, and I also want to not watch the debate more than ever. I'm just not sure which way I'm going to go. It's decision season, I guess, right? Why would that not be appropriate? Jenny Poling from ADM joins us now here on AgriTalk to discuss a new program, ADM Regenerations. Jenny Poling from ADM, thank you for joining us this morning on AgriTalk. How are you?
Hi, Davis. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
That's outstanding. Now, in reference to ADM's Regenerations, I'm looking here at some stats. According to a recent survey, 96% plan on re-enrolling in 2024. 87% would recommend this program to a friend or fellow producer. Give us the elevator speech on this program. What are we even talking about, Jenny?
Sure, happy to. Yeah, so my name's Jenny Poling, Climate Smart Origination Manager. I have been part of ADM Regenerations programs. This is the third year. And in that time, really, we've been rewarding producers for new and old conservation practices. ADM Regenerations offers financial and technical assistance for implementing regenerative ag practices on the farm. It's a flexible program to reward producers up to $25 an acre for implementing cover crops. Plus, if farmers deliver to a qualifying ADM facility, they could be eligible for emission scoring premiums to calculate carbon intensity, as well as wheat practice payments.
You enrolled 2.8 million North American acres in 2023. The aim is for 3.5 million in 2024 and 5 million globally. This is the global program you've got going here, yeah?
Yeah, this is a global effort. Big priority for ADM moving forward. And yes, we have been really successful. This is our third year of the program. As I mentioned, we are on track to hit that 3.1 million acre regenerative ag goal in North America. Our deadline for the 2024 ADM Regenerations program is coming up here on Friday, September 13th. Okay. But I just want to make sure that we get the word out so that farmers who are implementing regenerative ag practices on their farm know about these opportunities and can take advantage of them.
I'm just going to say that once again for the people in the back. Sign-up deadline is the 13th of September. That's 3 days away. If you're interested, you need to get on the stick and get involved here. Jenny, there are a lot of programs out there using a lot of words that we didn't used to use, sustainability and all sorts of stuff. Farmers are getting used to those words, have always loved the concept of conservation, obviously. What is it that makes ADM Regenerations different from some similar types of programs?
Yeah, absolutely. So our program, I would say, is different in the way that it's very transparent. When you sign up for the ADM Regenerations program, you know what the premiums will be and what to expect from the program. It's also really flexible. Our program is a year-by-year agreement. So if you sign up for a one-year agreement, you can re-enroll in the program with us year over year. I'd say something else that makes us different is that we do have opportunities no matter where farmers are on their regenerative ag journey. If you're just starting out, we have opportunities for you. If you're an early adopter in the regenerative ag space, we certainly have opportunities for you as well. So really flexible, transparent. And overall, I'd say maybe a way that we're different is that we are creating improvements that stay in our supply chain.
You know, and one thing that I really like, too, is that your program offers a variety of choices based on local topography and geographies and crops because, I mean, the cookie-cutter approach in the ag world just doesn't work, does it, Jenny? Every operation is a little bit different.
That's right. Yeah. And so I always tell farmers, you think about our program almost like a menu. Pick and choose what works best for your farm, where you want to start. And continue to grow with the program over time.
And there are, I mean, there's a payback from these efforts, right?
That's right. Yeah. As I mentioned, up to $25 an acre for implementing cover crops on the farm, per bushel premiums for deliveries direct to ADM, as well as up to $15 an acre for wheat harvested in 2024.
Okay, we have got to bring out the call to action. September 13 is the deadline. That's coming up, good people. Jenny, tell us where farmers should go, what they should do if they want more information, and then to go ahead and enroll.
Thank you. Yes, so the deadline is September 13th. If you want to know more, please go to admregenerations.com. That's where you can find out all the details about our program and about the ADM Regenerations approach, as well as find the link to enroll.
One of the sticky points with some of these programs has been, well, I've been cover cropping since the 70s. Do farmers need to start a brand new practice to qualify for this?
No, we have a lot of farmers in our program that are early adopters. You can be planting cover crops for 50 years and still qualify for our program.
Just real quick, let me lob you a softball question, and then we'll cut you loose here. What's ADM's, where's ADM's head at with this? Why spirit? I mean, this is an ambitious effort. What's the impetus here? What's the drive?
Yeah, it is a big effort, is a big priority for us moving forward. I would say the best way to describe it is ADM is at a unique place in the ag value chain. We work with customers who are interested in buying sustainable ingredients from ADM. We are interested in reducing emissions at the field level, but most importantly for me, it is rewarding producers and creating value for producers who are involved in regenerative ag practices.
Absolutely. Jenny, you've been very generous with your time. Tell us where we get more information once again, please.
Yeah, one more time. If you please go to admregenerations.com, you can find all the information as well as about how to enroll.
admregenerations.com. The sign-up deadline, September 13th. That's coming up fast. Farmers, get there if you need more information, if you're interested. This is a great program here. And as she said, there's a little give back involved in the whole program. Jenny Poling from ADM, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you for your time.
Have a great day, Jenny. All right, everybody. I think that's going to wrap us up for today. Yeah, well, I hear the music. This afternoon, we've got Brian Split behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk with a very exciting, very mysterious mystery guest. Tomorrow morning, I've got the farmer forum all lined up. It's all set already. So with that, thanks to Karen Bonert, John Doggett, Jim Wiesmeyer, and Jenny Poling from ADM. For Big Apple Joe Stackler, it's me, Davis Michelson, saying, hey, y'all come on back now at 2:06 Central Time for more AgriTalk.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed, distributed exclusively by BASF.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.